Next few weeks, I'm going to be talking about unlocking faith. Church, we need to live by faith. We need to walk by faith. Amen? You really believe that? We have been called to be people of faith. So I want to spend a few weeks recapturing who we believe in and whom we serve. This week, I want to title it Exceptional Faith. Exceptional Faith. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, there's a story that illustrates what true, genuine faith looks like. And amazingly, it's illustrated in a non-Jew. In fact, it's a centurion, one who served in the Roman army. In fact, the Bible tells us Jesus never actually met this man, and in verse 9, we're told that Jesus was amazed at his faith. Jesus said, this Roman soldier had faith like unlike any he had ever found in Israel. So I believe this story has something to teach us today about having exceptional faith. Luke chapter 7, let's read the story, verses 1 to 10. It reads this way out of the New International Version. It says, when Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Heavenly Father, stories like this in your word are given to us to teach us and to instruct us. I ask you today, teach us about great faith. Teach us about this exceptional faith that we should have. Lord, we know that you only need to really speak a word and it would be accomplished. And so, Father, I want to thank you for giving us your word, the living word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who helps us grow through it. So, Lord, teach us to be people of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, who is this man that has such great faith? The Bible doesn't really give us a lot of information about him. We know that he was a centurion, that he's an officer in the Roman army, and he probably has authority over about 100 soldiers. We also know that the man had a servant who was sick, and he's about to die. In fact, in Matthew chapter 8, where we also find the story, we're told that the servant was sick. He was paralyzed and was suffering. In verse 2, we read that the centurion, though, valued this servant highly. This thought to me is kind of noteworthy because servants were really treated more like property in that day. But this servant was of great value to his master. And it's just a reminder to all of us that, you know what, we should care about all people. Amen? That's the way we should live. Somehow, though, the centurion had heard about Jesus. He probably heard of the miracles of Jesus. And so this Roman soldier sent some elders of the Jews. Now, it's not just some friends at this point, but some leadership from the Jewish community to Jesus to ask him to come and heal his servant. Now, this would lead me to believe that probably the centurion was a man who was somewhat spiritually hungry and open to the things of God. In fact, you're going to hear what the elders say he has done for the nation. But I want you to hear what these Jewish leaders are telling Jesus again in verse 4 and 5. When they came to Jesus, this is the Jewish leaders, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." Now, this man was important to these Jewish leaders, and they really felt like he deserves the miracle because of what he had done for them. In fact, you need to understand, people can kind of fall into this thinking that if I can do things for God, if I can appeal to God, if I can negotiate with God, beginning to think that God owes us something. People think, well, I'm a good churchgoer. Or, I, you know what, I've given a lot of money to the Lord. Or, I've been nice to people. Or, you know what, God, I do regular devotions. Or, Lord, I even witness to other people. And all of a sudden, they begin to think they deserve to have God do something for them. But church, that's not the way it works. In our story about faith, exceptional faith, the centurion, the man that has the great faith, he approaches things differently than the Jewish leaders. In fact, he does it with a posture of humility, not deserving. In fact, you heard him say, "I don't deserve." When the centurion sent the delegation the first time, he didn't consider himself worthy. That's why he sent them. He said, "I didn't feel like I could come to you." That's how the man is thinking. And when Jesus even gets near his home, the centurion sends additional messengers out to tell Jesus, "I don't deserve to have you come under my roof." And so right here we can learn probably one of our first key lessons today is that we need an attitude of humility to have exceptional faith. You see, the centurion saw himself for who he really was. He knew he wasn't worthy. He knew he really didn't deserve anything. But that's not what others saw. Others saw this man, he has built stuff, he's done stuff, but the man knew it was not about what he had done, it was not about what he had built. It was that he had faith in Jesus. Faith is not about who we are, it is about who Jesus is. Church, if we received what we really deserve from the Lord, we would all get judgment instead of grace. For every day of our life, you need to understand, is this undeserved gift. You've been given a gift today, and God gave that gift to you so you could get to know him more. Every pleasure you have, every beauty, every insight is a gift from God. And true faith in our hearts is about us honestly seeing our position before the Lord more clearly. And that position is humility. Let me put it this way. We are the created talking to the Creator. And when we understand that position, that's where we begin to start in faith. Being humble in our hearts and seeing Christ for who he really is. So we need to have this attitude of humility to have exceptional faith. But also, we need to know the greatness of Christ to have exceptional faith. In this story, the centurion believed Jesus' power. And he believed it so completely that Jesus only needed to say the word and his servant would be healed. In his belief of what Jesus could do, he not only has faith, he has boldness. And the centurion's boldness was not anchored in his own goodness or his own character. His confidence was in the character and the compassion of Jesus. The centurion sent people on behalf of him to the Lord because he believed the Lord would listen, the Lord would hear his plea, and the Lord could do something about it. True, genuine faith is anchored in a true understanding of our own unworthiness combined with an absolute confidence in Jesus' greatness. That's faith. Not me, all him. The centurion recognized the authority of Jesus. Many of the Jews, they walked with him. They knew his ability. He could heal. He could teach. But the centurion recognized something far more than that. He believed his authority was so great that Jesus just needed to say the word and he could say it from anywhere. And his servant would be healed. The soldier understood the chain of command. He knew that when he gave an order, he didn't have to be there for that order to be fulfilled. I say it, and therefore that is done. I have the leadership, and whatever the leadership says, it is fulfilled by those underneath. Now I want you to catch this thought. Jesus was more than willing to come to the man's house. In fact, he was on his way. And if you're like me, you probably would have wanted Jesus to come on in and actually touch, you know, right? Because, I mean, I want everything I can get physically to perform what I'm desiring. But do you see the centurion's faith, this genuine faith, so confident in the Lord's authority that you only need to say the word? You have the authority. And when you say it, it is accomplished. Jesus did not have to be physically present. I marvel, I really do, at the reverence and the understanding that this Roman soldier had for the Lord. He recognized the Lord's power. He recognized the Lord's authority, and he was subservient to that. And church, you need to understand, though, this is different than the mindset of what's going on in our culture. And when I say these things, I am not picking on anyone today, but I'm telling you, here's what's going on in our culture today. We live in a very arrogant day. Children think nothing of speaking back to their parents or even against them. Students resist submitting to their teachers. I'm not talking about any of ours, right? Citizens of our nation feel free to disregard the law if it does not suit them. How many of you speed? The law just doesn't suit you? And you, I know we kind of laugh it off, but I honestly think we need to think about who we are as representatives before heaven. Our respect for our American nation and our history has almost disappeared. And added to that is people's respect for God and who he is. It has diminished. And not only that, it has been misconstrued greatly. But when I go back to this story, this centurion had the proper respect of the authority of Jesus. Because he knew Jesus had authority over life and over all creation. He had great faith that he knew what Jesus was able to do. And he believed that he could speak this life-giving word and it would take place. Church, that is great faith. What kind of faith do we have today? What kind of respect do you have for the Lord? Are you really humble? Do we recognize the authority of the one who made us? Our faith today has to start by being activated by our own humility. And then with an action of respect for who God is in our lives. Church, he is our Savior. I mean, that ought to generate praise. He's our Savior, our Redeemer, our Master. He's Shepherd of our souls. Church, that's who he is. And every time we think of him, we ought to be like David. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. It ought to stir something. because I know who he is and what he's done. In church, we ought to show our respect for God through our faith that we have in him. And we do that when we respect God's authority in our life. In church, you need to even respect him and trust him even in unpleasant times or in painful times of life. Remember the Old Testament story of Job, and he loses everything. His life fell apart. But Job, as we sang about this morning in Job 1:21, he says, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job shows that even though he did not understand, or he probably even didn't like what was happening in his life, he trusted God and he submitted to his wisdom. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He had faith to know that God is doing everything the way he wants it to be done, and I can trust him. He's working all things together for good. Church, we need great faith again. We need to trust God and his word and believe that his word will work in your life. In this story of this centurion and his great faith, I am glad that the servant was healed. I'm glad that Jesus has the power to do the impossible. But there's something that's sad in this story. And that is this. Jesus marveled at the uniqueness, the rarity of man's faith. He was amazed because this man's faith was so rare. Jesus couldn't find that kind of faith in Israel. I mean, Jesus had been ministering to the Jews and the people around the area for about a year and a half at this point in his ministry. He had done miracles, he had taught the crowds, yet this Roman soldier who didn't even meet him had more faith than any of the people Jesus had encountered. So church, how do we develop that strong, vibrant faith we need? How do we practice exceptional faith like this centurion did? One of the things, you need to see who God is more clearly. We need to consider the attributes and the character of God. The psalmist David tells us in Psalm 145, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." How great is God? You can't even begin to fathom what he can do. All your thoughts of heaven, by the way, all the things that you've ever thought he could do, he can do above and beyond. And however much you've thought heaven is going to be, it is far beyond our understanding. He is God. Psalm 103 reminds us of some things that are important. It starts with, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Church, if we could only magnify who he really is in every situation of our life, and then have faith that he is for us. Jeremiah says it this way. Jeremiah 17, verse 7, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." Now listen to verse 8. "They," the ones that have trust and confidence and faith, "they will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. And listen, it does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. It never fails to bear fruit. What if we were people of faith? You go, well, there's stuff that happens and I just don't know how it's going to turn out. The heat feels like it's been cut up. You shouldn't fear. I'm planted. And my roots have gone deep by the stream of the river of life. My leaves are always green. I think that's interesting. It always shows life. There are seasons of our life that I'm not doing it. Always be green. You know what? Don't worry. I know the song says be happy. But don't worry. Even in a year of drought. I know you're feeling like, man, it's been a long time. And I don't know. Don't worry. It doesn't add one thing to your life. Especially if you're planted by the water. And it never fails to bear fruit. Do you know what? If you're planted and you have faith, you're going to bear love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and meekness and faithfulness and self-control. Because you're planted. Because your confidence, your trust, your faith is in who He is. Pastor Matt, would you come? Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2 says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Listen to verse 2, though. For I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. There's a lot of people who don't feel like they're resting. Maybe you don't know who God is. Maybe you've forgotten who God is. Church, let me remind you, He is great and greatly to be praised, and His greatness no one can fathom. Church, we need to trust and have faith and confidence that God is who He says He is. Just begin to read through the Psalms again and know what David says. Read through the prophets and read again and let them speak to you. The Gospels, read them again. Listen carefully as you read about the miracles and the life and the power and the teachings of Jesus. It's real. Church, I am saved by faith. I believe that Jesus went to a cross for me. I believe it all started in a garden with Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve, they sinned. And because of their sin, they brought sin into the world and every generation there forward. But thank God, He so loved the world, the people of the world, that He gave His only begotten Son. And whoever would have faith, whoever would believe, whoever would trust in Him, would not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, that's my faith, and I'm saved. Oh, but my God is so much more. By His stripes, I am healed. He loves me with an everlasting love. He is for me and not against me. He is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He's everything. But what's your faith? Do you know who He is? Do you really know? Is your faith exceptional? We need to be people of faith. The trend in our society And this saddens me. But I believe that God could turn it around if his people would be people of faith again. The trend in society is to somehow see the word of God as just wise sayings. This is kind of good. Rather than it is the revelation of God's heart and his will for our lives. That's what this is. But too many people view the Bible as some catalog. And I could go and let me see. I want to pick and choose things that might be helpful to me today. It's not just a catalog. There's this also growing tendency. And it's happening in the church. To somehow revise God's word to meet our popular culture. I want you to know the Holy Spirit was relevant in the Old Testament, and he is relevant today. I don't know why we think we've got to somehow change the gospel so that it will welcome others into a building. I thought this was about eternity. I want to welcome him into heaven, not hell. Church, somewhere we have got to get back on the foundation of his word and have faith that God can save everybody, anyone, whosoever would believe. Our faith comes from believing his word. And church, that it is the final authority for our lives. It is the finality of what I ought to believe. It's sad that many only want to see Jesus as a life coach. I thought he was our leader. He's our Savior. He's our master. He doesn't just coach you around. He tells us what to do. He doesn't just coach you and hope it turns out. He says, this is how I want you to live. People kind of see Jesus as a cheerleader. He is a leader. He has to lead us. Church, he's commander in chief. He is Lord. He is deliverer. He is healer. He is soon coming king. And church, what happens is when we get our focus off of him and onto the consumer, we're no longer walking in faith. Because we think it's about me. This is all about him. He created the world. He created you. He did all the work. He went to the cross. He rose again. He's coming back for his church. It's him. So one more thing I want to share before we close today. I don't want you to miss the value of intercession. The centurion wanted his servant healed and sent these people to Jesus on behalf of this servant that he valued. What do you think would have happened if the servant would have backed up and done nothing? What if he just would have shrugged his shoulders and said, there's nothing I can do? The servant would have died. Church, I feel like the church does that every once in a while. We just kind of, I don't know if anything can happen. Oh, church, bring Jesus into the situation. Invite him to come along. But this centurion has faith. And boldly asked Jesus to come and heal his servant. He took action. He turned to the Lord in great faith. And as a result, the servant was healed. He was about to die, and he's healed. He was paralyzed, but he was healed. He was sick, but he was healed. We need to have great faith again. Today, you may feel like you're helpless in your situation. There may be someone that you love dearly and they're desperately sick. Maybe there's someone that you know is going through trials and turmoils in their life. Maybe there's a family member or a friend that you know is rebelling against God. Or maybe it's you this morning and there's a mountain in your own life. But did you know today we can bring our circumstances to Jesus? And He only needs to speak a word. A word of life. By the way, did you know He's the truth, the way, and the life? What do you think He's going to speak? He's going to speak life to your situation. So instead of worrying, instead of fretting, instead of despairing, turn to the one who has the power and the authority to heal a body, to change a heart, to tear down a wall, and completely step in and change the whole circumstance. Exceptional faith is what results when we focus not on our ability, but His ability. Faith is when we abandon our ways and let go of our worries and set aside our fears and rest completely on Him.